mercy seat. I through him am reconciled, I through him become thy child. Abba, Father, give me grace in thy courts to seek thy face. While thy glorious praise is sung, touch my lips, unloose my tongue, that my joyful soul may bless Christ the Lord, my righteousness. While the prayers of saints ascend, God of love to mine attend. Hear me, for thy Spirit pleads, hear, for Jesus intercedes. While I hearken to thy law, fill my soul with humble awe, till thy gospel bring to me life and immortality. While thy ministers proclaim peace and pardon in thy name, through their voice by faith may I hear thee speaking from the sky. From thy house when I return, may my heart within me burn, and at evening let me say, I have walked with God today.
Good morning. Order of service this morning is the order of matins, beginning on page 32. Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord, open thou my lips, make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Alleluia.
Oh, come, let us worship the Lord.
Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving.
The Lord is the strength of His people. To you, O Lord, I call, my rock, be not deaf to me. Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cry to you for help. Blessed be the Lord. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In Him my heart trusts, and I am helped. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, as it was in the beginning. The Lord is the strength of His people. Please be seated for the reading of God's Word. The Old Testament reading is written in the 56th chapter of Isaiah, beginning at the first verse. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to Him, to love the name of the Lord and to be His servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God, who gathers the outcast of Israel, declares, I will gather yet others to Him besides those already gathered. But Thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. The epistle is written in the 11th chapter of Romans. I ask, then, has God rejected His people? By no means, for I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected His people, whom He foreknew. Now I am speaking to you Gentiles. Inasmuch, then, as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry, in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous, and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? As regards the gospel, they are enemies of God for your sake, but as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience, that He may have mercy on all. But Thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel is written in the 15th chapter of St. Matthew, beginning at the 21st verse. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, Send her away, for she is crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered, It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. She said, Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Please be seated as we invite forward our children for the children's message. Just waiting for Cooper. Aren't we always waiting for Cooper? Hey, Cooper, come on down. Have a seat. I got some bread for you. Look at this. Bread. How many of you like bread?
I do.
Do you like bread? Good. What kind of bread do you all like?
I like peanut butter.
You like peanut butter bread? Never heard of it. Do you really? I got wheat bread. Wheat bread is supposed to be healthy for you, and it also comes from all of our farmers. So I'm supporting all of your families by buying your wheat and eating wheat bread, although I know it's not what it's made from, but that's okay. But the point is that Jesus visits with a woman this morning, and Jesus actually finds a woman, and this woman is not a believer in Jesus. Anyway, she's not supposed to be a believer in Jesus. She's from the far north part of Israel, a place called Tyre and Sidon, and these people are heathens. They do not believe in God because they have their false gods. But here comes this woman crying out to Jesus, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me, for my daughter is possessed by a demon. How does this woman know that Jesus is the Lord? How does she know that Jesus is the Son of David, the Messiah? How does she know this? Well, Jesus tells her that it's not right to throw the bread to the dogs. And Jesus isn't talking about this kind of bread, by the way. Jesus is talking about the Holy Gospel. Now, we all know the Holy Gospel, right? The Gospel is that Jesus came and He died on the cross, and He shed His blood for us, and He washed away all of our sins, and He rose on the third day, and He ascended into heaven. But Jesus isn't staying in heaven, is He? Jesus is going to come back and take us to be with Him. Well, this woman who lives far to the north, who's a heathen, she's heard this, and guess what? She believes. She believes what she's heard. She believes that Jesus is the Messiah. And so Jesus tells her that the bread that He is not to give to her is actually His ministry, that word of the Holy Gospel. But she says, yes, Lord, that's true, but even the crumbs from the master table fall to all of us. And the little crumbs that she's talking about is the crumbs of the gospel. Even the unbeliever hears about Jesus' ministry, the bread, but they don't always believe, but some people receive the crumbs. How many of you like the crumbs?
I do.
You like crumbs? Seems like, Cooper, you like everything. That's good.
I like blueberries.
You like blueberries. They're good for your brain. So even a Canaanite woman has received the crumbs. She's heard small little bits of the whole bread, but just small little bits, as you see here. And even those small little bits have taken root into her heart. And she believes that God is God, that Jesus is the Messiah, and she will not give up. And this is good for us, my dear ones, because this woman is showing us what great faith is. Faith is believing Jesus, even if you hear about the little crumbs and you don't hear about the whole gospel. Great faith is taking hold of Jesus and never, ever letting go. Do any of you have anything like that, that you really, really love and you don't want to let go of it? Maybe mom or dad. But Jesus is even more valuable than them. Hate to say it, but it's true. Jesus is our Messiah. He is the Son of David. And when we take hold of Jesus and never let go of the gospel, what does Jesus promise? What does he tell the woman? Oh, woman, you have great faith. Oh, my dear friend, all of you, you have great faith. Let it be done to you as you so desire. And our desire is to be where? In heaven. You're right, Duncan. Our desire is to be with our Lord in heaven. So as we grasp Jesus in great faith, even though it may be crumbs, but here you don't hear crumbs, you hear the whole loaf. Take hold of Jesus, never let go, and have great faith. For Jesus has died for us. And he is coming again. Let's fold our hands and let's bow our heads and close our eyes and let us pray. Lord Jesus, even though you may feed us crumbs, they are still the value of the gospel. They are golden nuggets, O Lord. And even those crumbs, O Lord, can take root into our heart and grow and flourish to a whole loaf. Lord, we pray that your ministry, the bread of life, may always be proclaimed here, O Lord. And may we always in faith take hold of you and never, ever let go. Help us, Lord Jesus, as the Canaanite woman said to you, help us. And in your great mercy, we pray, Lord Jesus, in your holy name. And all the children said,
Amen.
I don't know. I think they're still sleeping back there. All the children said,
Amen.
Now they're awake. Remember, we walk back to our seats. And we sing the hymn of the day. Please rise. And Jesus said, "Old woman, you have great faith. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen." Please be seated. My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, it's an American tradition that on New Year's Day we watch the Tournament of Roses parade. I know you're all thinking about it right now, but let me tell you something that amazing that happened in 1940. Now, it wasn't on television in 1940. You had to be there to see this, but a beautiful float all of a sudden stopped dead in its track right in the middle of the avenue. And of course, the parade ground it to a halt. Now, that doesn't really sound funny unless you know that the float was sponsored by and represented the Standard Oil Company. We know today as Chevron. With all of its vast resources, the driver of the truck pulling the float, yes, they had trucks pulling floats in 1940. I wasn't there, but I know that it's true because I've seen pictures. Anyway, the driver of the truck forgot to put Standard Oil gasoline in the tank, and he ran out of gas, much to the chagrin and the embarrassment of Standard Oil. That's what makes it funny. Standard Oil, no gas, the float stops, the parade stops. Now, at some point in our lives, maybe you've been there. You've been blessed with a place in God's parade. He's decorated you with fragrant flowers, righteousness and holiness. You've been won by Christ, and you're beautiful. He has freely given you faith and spiritual fuel through the gift of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to keep us moving along in His beautiful parade. Yet too often, all too often, it seems like you and I run out of gas. Thus, today in the Holy Gospel, we hear a Canaanite woman, a pagan, a non-Jew, a heathen, who should not have spiritual fuel at all, come seeking after Jesus. But in reality, dear ones, she's in the parade because God has sought her out and found her. And Jesus has done this for a very specific reason. He wants to show His disciples then and His disciples today an example of great faith. And He uses a woman who isn't supposed to have faith, and she passes the test of faith with extraordinary faith. So this morning, Jesus proclaims to all of us, and He teaches us how to cope, how never to run out of gas when He tests our faith. Instead of running out of gas, you and I are to be people, Christians with extraordinary faith. Now, in context, it's important for us to know that in this chapter, Jesus has just confronted the Pharisees. He's proven to them what is clean and unclean. It's not what you put into your mouth that makes you unclean. It's what comes out of your mouth that makes you unclean. The Pharisees, of course, disagree with Jesus. So Jesus retires again far to the north, this time to a Gentile area known as Tyre and Sidon, but the Greeks call it Syrophoenicia, which is now modern-day Lebanon. Jesus and His disciples are apparently traveling along the border area when suddenly, as Matthew tells us, behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "O Lord, Son of David, my daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." That in and of itself is a statement of faith. This is something that the woman should not have known, but she did, and it's a great wonder. Somehow she knew and believed that Jesus is the Lord and that He is the Son of David. By the way, when you hear the term Son of David, that is an Old Testament promise of the Messiah. This woman is proclaiming, Jesus, You're the Lord and You're the Messiah. She knew that Jesus is the Messiah. Somehow she trusted that Jesus would have compassion and mercy upon her and her demon-possessed daughter. How? How could this happen? How did this pagan, heathen woman acquire this amazing faith? Faith just doesn't pop out of thin air. Yet it takes root into one's heart. We know from God's Word that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. This woman has just said that Jesus is the Lord. She believed that Jesus is the Messiah. Therefore, the Holy Spirit has worked faith in this woman's heart. She hasn't done this. The Holy Spirit has done it. But she's not baptized, you may say. She's never been instructed, you may proclaim. That is true. But remember from last week's epistle lesson from the book of Romans, what do we hear? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. We are not told how this woman acquired this faith, but it's obvious that she does have faith in Jesus as her Messiah. She has heard the promise. She has heard what Jesus has been doing. And finally, she could have peace for her daughter. This heartbroken mother, with this miracle of faith residing in her, seeks out the one who she knows will heal her poor little daughter of this demon possession. Peter writes for us in his first letter, "These trials have come upon us so that your faith of greater value than gold, which perishes though refined by fire, may prove genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." The Canaanite woman had a precious faith like gold. Yet, what is Jesus going to do? He's going to refine her even more by sticking her into the divine fires of testing so that her faith will be even more pure, even more valuable than gold itself, even brighter than the sun itself. So Jesus tests this woman just dear as He does, dear one, as He tests your faith. And He does it in three divine ways. We've already heard that this woman comes to Jesus calling out after Him. And she's calling Him Lord and Son of David. But what does Jesus do? Jesus did not answer her a word. The Lord ignored this woman. She's calling out to Him, and Jesus just keeps walking. Doesn't say a word. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like being dismissed like that. I didn't allow my sons to do it. I'm sure you don't allow your children to do it. Yet Jesus has heard this woman's plea for mercy, and He ignores her. Did she give up? Would a hurting, loving mother give up on her daughter? She did not give up. And His disciples had to come to Jesus to tell Him, "Lord, dismiss her because she's harassing us." In the Greek, that's exactly what they said. "Lord, dismiss her. She's harassing us." That should sound familiar. Jesus was told by His disciples to dismiss the 5,000. Now they tell Him to dismiss a heathen woman. But Jesus has a plan. And the plan is the silence test. It's the same test that Jesus uses on you and me. I know He's used it on me. We cry out to the Lord for help. And it seems that the reply is deafening silence. No reply. Oh Lord, help me. No reply. Oh Lord, have mercy on me. No reply. We all take our problems, our issues, our hurts to the Lord. Nothing. Only silence. And a weak faith will react by saying this: "Where are you, God? I thought you loved me." Or, "Obviously, God, you don't care about me because you're not listening. Therefore, you don't care. So I'm going to find someone else who will listen to me." When our answers are fleeting from us, from the Lord, do we hang up on God? Or do we hang on to Him even tighter? This is the example of the Canaanite woman. She did not give up. She kept calling out after them, trailing behind them, calling out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Help me." Do we pass the silence test? The same way that the Holy Spirit brings us to faith should be what gives us strength to pass this test. And we know what the test is, and we know what the answer is. It's His Word. When God makes a promise, we know that He will fulfill His promise. What did He say? "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you." He doesn't say, "I might deliver you." He says, "I will deliver you." And He has, right here. But He doesn't promise to help you like this, at the snap of the fingers. And He doesn't promise to help you when you decide you need help. God will decide in His blessed divine way. The silence test is to provoke us to hold on, to cling to Jesus, and to never let go, to continually cry out, "Oh Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Oh Lord, Son of David, help me." And that call never, ever stops. The woman did not give up. And dear one, neither should you ever give up. Next is a selectivity test. Here Jesus uses theology. And the woman hears the truth. And she believes the truth. Jesus answered her and says, "I was sent only to the sheep of the lost house of Israel." Point blank, Jesus tells her that He came only for the Jew. And Jesus is not lying. He was sent by God directly to the Jewish people to proclaim to them the blessed gospel. He spent His entire ministry, dear ones, within 100 miles of Jerusalem, since the Jews were like sheep without a shepherd. Clearly, this woman is not an Israelite. This test of faith, this selectivity test, is a test to prove to her that she isn't to hear the gospel yet. But she came and knelt before Him, and she cried out, "Lord, help me." Literally, she threw herself at Jesus' feet, taking hold of His right ankle, and she pleaded, "Lord, help me." How many of us are willing to do that? To fall in the dust before Jesus, to cling on to Him, to grab His right ankle, to kiss His foot, and cry out, "Lord, help me." That's an eloquent prayer, by the way. "Lord, help me." What do you think of His test? The selectivity test. Well, Christians nowadays are kind of appalled at this, that Jesus would do this. But we have to keep everything in context. Jesus was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Remember what God said, though. God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. But Paul writes, God our Savior wants all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And again, Paul writes to the Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation. For everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Our Lord's ministry is first for the Jew, and then His work upon the cross. Jesus then establishes His church. Jesus was sent to proclaim the gospel to the Jewish people. Then Jesus establishes the church. Remember, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's the church. And the disciples and Paul, their responsibility was take the gospel to you and to me. And our responsibility is take the gospel to our neighbor, to our friend, to even members of our own family. So Jesus is telling the truth. And the woman agrees with Him. Yes, Lord, yes. The word yes in the Greek actually means truth. You have spoken the truth. Jesus always speaks the truth. And there's the final test, the truth test. It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. That's hard. That is a hard truth. Some say Jesus is calling her a dog. He is not calling her a dog. Yet did He? Jesus is telling the woman that His ministry, that His bread is for the house of Israel. And it's intended for the children of Israel. In the Greek, Jesus is telling her that what He is, that if He gives her the gospel in all of its full glory, that would be not excellent or prudent. That would be outside of His mission statement. Jesus is telling her a theological truth. And He applies the truth test to her. And she agrees, yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Truth, Lord, You are right. This pagan woman is showing an extraordinary faith that even His disciples did not have. She is answering a theological truth with a theological truth. Essentially, she is saying, Lord, I will be satisfied even with the little leftover crumbs, since Your crumbs are morsels of life. So why is it, dear ones, why is it that Christians suffer even the worse? Believe it or not, it's because God loves us like a father. When health and wealth disappear, when happiness seems to blow away with the wind, when we have to deal with the death of a loved one or a friend, when all the worldly blessings of this life seem to be gone in a flash, what must we do as a Christian? We must be like this woman. Yes, Lord, help me. We must fall to our face, cling to Him, and proclaim, Lord, help me. Dear ones, what we hear in the gospel lesson this morning is an extraordinary faith from a very ordinary woman, a pagan who wasn't supposed to say even anything like this. But we see the power of the Holy Spirit. He has worked in her heart. He has shown her the truth, and the truth was standing before her. And when she believed, Jesus told her, O woman, you have great faith. Let it be as you so desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. That's what Jesus does. So, dear one, when you're hearing silence, when you hear the selectivity test, when you hear the truth test, cling to Jesus. All that you do, cling to Jesus. Never give up. Never walk away. Hold on to Him. Continue hearing the Word. And as with this woman, you will hear, O dear Christian, great is your faith. So finally, O Lord, give us such an extraordinary faith. And you know He has. He has given us an extraordinary faith. That's why in faith you do cling to your Lord. That's why you do come to His altar to receive from Him. That's why you are here to hear His Word and to hear His blessed promise that, dear one, all your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. Oh, great is your faith. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated for the offering. Please rise for a canonical hymn, hymn 252. Let us now pray to the Lord for all that we need and on behalf of all people, that our Lord may bestow upon us the riches of His grace, and that we may receive His gifts with faith and thanksgiving in our hearts. We pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for true unity in the faith, for the preservation of pure doctrine, for harmony in the lives of all congregations in this congregation. O Lord, we pray for harmony in our district and in our synod. And O Lord, we pray for charitable hearts that put the best construction on what we see and on what we hear. Heavenly Father, we pray for those outside of the kingdom, for missionaries near and far who are proclaiming your gospel, for the ministries and agencies of our church whereby the holy gospel is spoken to those who have not heard. And, O Lord, we pray for those who hear, that they may be brought to faith, as was the Canaanite woman. Heavenly Father, we pray for all pastors and church workers, for those preparing for full-time church work, and for those considering church work vocations. Heavenly Father, we pray for all families, for husbands and wives to live in faithfulness to each other, for all mothers with child, for all children, and for those who bring them up, and that they will bring them, O Lord, to baptism, and that they be nurtured in the faith until life everlasting. Heavenly Father, we pray for our president, the Congress, our governors, all elected and appointed leaders, all judges and magistrates, the members of the armed forces of the United States, all of our police, firefighters, and emergency medical workers, as they, O Lord, do their duty to protect and to serve. Heavenly Father, we pray for the healing of the sick. We pray for the relief of the suffering. O Lord, we pray for the comfort of the grieving and for peace of the dying. O Lord, this day we pray for Esther Schweier, Jim McCullough, Joyce Lechner, Michelle Hill, Aubrey Art, Sean Mendez, Austin Art, the Reverend David and Barbara Bush, Ruth Becker, Barbara Wolfert, Ryan Fiesel, Charlotte Davis, Maya Kalla, Wanda Schweier, Waylon Steiner, Janice Patterson, Kelly Miller, Patricia Lee, Jeff Secor, Nikki Strait, and the Reverend William Stottlemyer. Heavenly Father, we pray for all honest work and occupations. Heavenly Father, we pray for our good use of the fruits of our labors and of our land. O Lord, we pray that you will continue to give us favorable weather for the growing of crops and for a bountiful harvest to come. O Lord, we pray for generosity for those in need and for the tithes and offering that accompany our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Lastly, Heavenly Father, we pray for our remembrance of the saints and the thanksgiving for their fruitful witness, that at last we may be joined with them in your eternal presence. Lord God, giver of all that is good, mercifully hear the prayers of your people and grant us your grace, that we may endure the changes and chances of this mortal life and be found worthy when our Savior Jesus Christ comes to bring us to all completion into his kingdom. Lord, we pray this in Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings being ordered by thy governance may be righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Bless we the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. You see the announcements in the bulletin. Just one thing that I do want to point out is this Tuesday, Ladies' Aid, we will meet here in the parish hall at 7 o'clock, so all the ladies of the church are invited. I understand the apprehension. If you want to wear your mask, that's fine. I have no problem with that. If you want to sit 6 feet apart, I have no problem with that either. But let's not give up. Let's not be in the habit of not meeting together. So we look forward to seeing all the ladies of the church present for Ladies' Aid. And I'll be talking to you about something that's near and dear to all of the hearts of the ladies here present, similar to what you just heard a couple of moments ago. So come in here. Come in here. Come in here. God's grace to you all.